Reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Verses from Bhagavatam explaining the point how devotees of the Lord engaged in devotional service, they're not interested, is it working? They're not interested in liberation or any other form of promotion. They're simply satisfied by rendering devotional service. This is a verse from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. The Veda Stutis, personified Vedas. Duravagamatma tatva nigamaya tatva tanosh. Charitra mahamritabdi parivarta parishamanha. Napari la santi kechit apavargam apishwarate. Charana Sarojaham Sakula Sangha Vishita Griha. My Lord, some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. These rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees who are like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus of your feet. So the personified Vedas are glorifying hearing about Krishna's pastimes. How did one feel so much happiness? He can renounce everything and just keep associating with devotees that are talking about Krishna's pastimes. In Jiva Goswami's commentary, he rephrases it, explaining different words of the verse. He says, O Lord, the truth about you, Atma Tattva, is hard to understand, Nduravagama, since the true nature of your form, qualities, and pastimes are covered by the bliss of Brahman. For broadcasting that truth, you have assumed your spiritual form in this material world. Some souls who appear rarely, giving up the fatigue of material existence by swimming in the sweet ocean of your pastimes, do not desire liberation. What type of people are these? Even those who were at first engaged in family affairs, having given up their households through the association with the disciplic line of great devotees, Kulahamsa, serving your lotus feet. May such great devotees and their disciples remain doing this. Jiva Goswami is simply repeating what the personified Vedas say. That if someone engages in hearing about the sweet nectar of Krishna's pastimes, then even his engagement in family life, which generally is a great source of attachment and happiness for materialistic people, he gives up all his engagement in family life and simply runs behind the devotees of the Lord. This is the parampara. This is the Kula Hamsa. Kula means family or group. Hamsa means swan-like people. Those devotees who have accepted, they've extracted the milk from the water. They've extracted the essence of life. And the essence of life is bliss. And such intelligent people, Paramahamsas or Satams, they have understood that the real way to find bliss is hearing and chanting about Krishna, hearing about his pastimes. So this verse is telling that. The personified Vedas are also saying the same point, that for one who is engaged in hearing about Krishna's pastimes, he doesn't care about bhukti in the form of family life. He renounces that and simply runs after the devotees of the Lord who are engaged in glorifying Krishna's pastimes. 11th canto, another verse is there. Na kinchit sarva udhira bhakta ye kantino mama achantyapi maya dattam kaivalyam apanarbhavam. Because my devotees, this is Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava Gita, my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence. They completely dedicate themselves to me and do not desire anything else besides me. Indeed, Even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it. Again, the same point. In the 11th canto, it's further said, the parameshtyam na mahendra dishnyam, the sarva bhaumam na rasari patyam, the yoga siddhira panarbhavam va, ayarpita mechati madvinayat. The devotee who has offered his soul to me does not want anything if it is separate from me. For example, he doesn't want the position of the supreme demigod of the universe, Lord Brahma, nor Indra, nor even kingship over the entire earth or the lower planetary systems, nor mystic perfections, nor even freedom from the cycle of rebirth. So Rupa Goswami is citing verses from all over the Bhagavatam to reinforce his point about the non-interest of devotees in anything but devotional service. Jiva Goswami's commentary, he says, this verse, the order of the first four items is progressively lower in value. When these are not accepted, what can be said of yoga, siddhis, and liberation? Devotee does not want anything at all arising from the achievement of these goals. He desires only Krishna, the goal of his sadhana. I am greater than any other goals of human endeavor. He has offered his soul to me. So this is Krishna speaking in Jiva Goswami's words, that the devotee is happy. Just offering his soul to the Lord, that's sufficient. It gives him satisfaction. Doesn't want anything more. That's why people, the materialistic people, think that devotees are crazy. How is it? You're doing such a simple thing, simply expressing your dedication and service to an intangible principle. In one sense, God is intangible. You can't really see God or touch God with the material senses, sense perception. And you're offering your whole life to such an intangible, imperceptible entity known as God. You must be crazy. But actually, they can say, okay. Prabhupada wrote one article in the magazine BTG. He wrote the article, it's called, Who's Crazy? Are the materialists crazy that are pursuing... And Prabhupada gives a hypothetical analogy. They're pursuing Maya, but he says, if you go up to someone, if you meet someone on the street, and you say, hello, sir, where are you going? He says, well, I don't really know. He says, where have you come from? I don't know. Ultimately, where I came from, I don't know. And what is the purpose of your life? What are you trying to accomplish? And he'll say something. And who are you? I'll say, I'm me. I'm Mr. Smith or whatever. The Prabhupada said, if a person doesn't know where he's going or who he is or where he's coming from, then he's actually crazy. Or he has a very vague conception when answering these questions. But devotees have a concise and clear idea of these answering these questions. So this is a point that's being made here. Now there's another verse in 12th canto, Lord Shiva speaking. Naive chatyashisha kapi brahmashir moksham apyuta bhaktim param bhagavati labdavan purushevaya. Surely this saintly person does not desire any benediction, not even liberation itself, for he has attained pure devotional service unto the inexhaustible personality of Godhead. So there's no commentary here. It's just discussing Brahmana. I don't know if that's Avadhut Brahman or not. But Shiva is glorifying this Brahman. He's attained pure devotional service. What more does he want? Nothing more to attain. Yeah, this is a conversation between Shiva speaking this verse to his wife, Parvati. And Shiva's glorifying this great Brahman sage, Markandeya Rishi. That he doesn't desire any benediction. He doesn't even want liberation because he's obtained pure devotional service. So this is from the 12th canto, Bhagavatam. Of course, the story of Markandeya Rishi is quite interesting because he was a great yogi, great devotee also. And Lord Indra of the heavenly planets, he became somewhat envious of Markandeya Rishi. He was afraid that he would take over his kingdom. And as he often does, he sensed some impediment or some obstacle to make Markandeya Rishi break, or it's called yoga brashta, to fall from his path of yoga. So Indra sent all these heavenly damsels. Maybe you've seen a picture in the Bhagavatam. And then he sent all these famous celestial girls to the heavenly planets, very voluptuous and attractively built. And they came to the sage, and he was in his samadhi, and they're ringing their waist bells and ankle bells and making provocative gestures with their bodily limbs. And then the sage gently opened his eyes, and he saw this display, let's rather say this parade of flesh before his eyes. And he thought, at first he laughed, he said, oh, and he understood this is Indra's trick. So he wasn't very much impressed. So then he said, well, Indra, you didn't do a very good job here. These girls, they look like street sweepers. Although they were considered the most beautiful ladies in the heavenly planets. So then from Markandeya Rishi's own body, then he generated so many beautiful damsels came emanating from his body. And they were just hovering around him like angels. And when the girls from heaven, Swargaloka, sent by Indra, when they saw these other girls, they felt ashamed. They tried to cover themselves and cover their bodily parts and lower their face out of shyness. And they felt so much embarrassed. They said, oh my God, we really are street sweepers compared to these Markandeya Rishi manufactured celestials. So then they ran back to Indra and he said, what happened? He said, oh, we tried to break his meditation, but he has a whole bevy of beautiful girls just coming out of his limbs. What can we do? It was impossible for us to break his meditation. He has 10 beautiful girls in his back pocket. So Markandeya Rishi was such a great yogi that he could defeat Indra Dev. And he could out display Indra. He could show more beautiful girls than Indra. He wasn't attracted to his own beautiful girls. And he wasn't attracted to the street sweepers sent by Indra either. So noticing this, then Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, he's such a great devotee, Lord Shiva remarked on this event to his wife Parvati. Parvati, you see this saintly Brahman? He doesn't desire any kind of benediction. He has attained pure devotional service, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Labdavan Purushe. Labyate, he says, Labdavan. Labdavan, he possesses this attainment. He's attained this Param Bhakti, Bhagavat Bhakti. This topmost devotion to the Lord he has attained. What more does he need? What more does he want? He has a topmost attainment. There's nothing we can offer him. There's nothing we can entice him with. There's nothing in this world that can attract him or deter him from his Lord. So in this way, another example of someone who's not moving an inch from his service to the Lord, Markandeya Rishi. Now this is a verse from Padma Puran, Kartik Mahatmyam. This may sound familiar. Varam deva moksham na moksham vadim va na chanyam vrineham varisharapiha hiram deva purnata gopala balam sada me manasya virastam kimanye. In this prayer, Satyabratamuni Damodarastakam, he's praying for the Avirbhav, for the continual darshan of his Ishtadev, Gopal. He says, I don't want anything, namokshe. I don't want, what do I want? I don't want liberation. I don't want anything of this world, anything leading up to liberation. I'm not asking anything from the Lord. I don't want varam, varam deva moksham. Varam means benedictions, blessings from deva, from the supreme deva, Adi Dev, Krishna. I don't want any blessings, benedictions, promotions, perks. They say perks. I don't need any commission. I'm not a commission agent with the Lord. What do I want? I just, may your form as a young coward boy remain in my mind and nothing else. Satyabrata Muni is saying, I just want to have darshan, rupa chintamani. I want to see your wonderful form in my mind. That's all. I'm only asking for the donation. Can you give me one thought? Can you imagine? How many thoughts we have? We have thousands and thousands of thoughts. If we had one rupee for every thought that we have, manavritti, then we would be arabpatis. We would all be millionaires if we had $1 for every thought that passes through our brain. So, Satyabrata Muni, he's saying, my Lord, I'm not even begging for anything tangible. I'm not even begging for anything of any substance. I'm only begging for a thought. This is quite inconceivable when you think about it. So I just want a thought. I want the thought of you to be in my brain, in my mind. Manas yavirastam kemanye. Avirbhav. Avirastam means avirbhav. We have tirabhav and avirbhav. Manas yavirastam. I want you to be situated, just stay as a thought form in my mind. May I see you in my mind. That's all. That's amazing. Just to have the Lord's thought in our mind. So humble, so selfless. So Jiva Goswami, he says, I do not accept anything leading up to liberation or liberation itself. Liberation from hell or any other place perceived as a type of liberation is considered even lower. Now there's another verse. Kuveratma jo bhadda murtyeva yadvat Tvayam hochito bhakti bhaddho krito cha Tatta prema bhaktim swakam me prayacha Namokshe graho mesti damodareha. Again, Satyabrata Muni is talking about this. Namokshe graho mesti damodareha. Oh my Lord, oh my beautiful Lord Gopal, oh Lord Damodar, you are once bound up by Mother Yashoda with the ropes of devotion. Bhakti Bhado Kritocha. Then you freed the sons of Kuvera. Kuvera Atmajo. Born from the self. Janma Atma. Born from the self of Kuvera. You freed the sons of Kuvera and bound them with bhakti. In the same way, please bestow upon me prema bhakti. O Damodar, I do not accept liberation. Prema bhaktim swakam me priyacha. He's saying, please give me prema bhakti. Again he's saying, I don't want liberation. Two times in one ashtakam. Now this verse, next verse, Narayan Vyuhastava. There's some book here. Nadharmam kamam artam va moksham va varadeshwara prataye tava padavje dasyam eva vikamaye punapunar randitsur vishnur muktim nayachitaha bhaktireva vrita yena praladam tam namam yaham. And these two verses from the Haya Shirsha Pancharatra. O Lord, O bestower of benedictions, I do not pray for dharm, art, kam, or moksha. I desire only service at your lotus feet. I offer my respects to Prahlad Maharaj, who asked only for devotion. He did not pray to Vishnu for liberation, though Vishnu wanted to give him many benedictions. And then the next shloka here. I guess it's from the same book. Yajuchayaladamapi Vishnur dasharate stuya Naichan moksham vinadasyam Tasme Hanumate Namaha. I offer my respects to Hanuman, who did not want liberation, which Ram could easily give, but instead wanted servitude. So again, here's examples of devotees of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj and Hanuman. They're both refusing, even when the Lord directly offers them liberation, they're refusing to accept it. Bhava Bandha Chide Tasye Sprihayami Namop Muktaye Bhavan Prabhurham Dasa Iti Yatra Vilupyate. This is a very famous statement of Hanuman. I do not desire liberation that cuts the bondage of material life, because in that state of liberation, awareness that you are the master and I am the servant disappears. So this is, Rupa Goswami is saying this is a famous statement of Hanuman, that if you give me liberation, then I'll forget that I'm your eternal servant. And Hanuman was famous for his dasya rati. He was fixed in the mood of a servant, dasya bhav. And even it's told in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that when Ramachandra wound up his pastimes, his prakat lila, in this material world, in Treta Yuga, then he took everyone back to Ayodhya, in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha. And he told Hanuman, he said, Hanuman, you stay here. You stay in Ayodhya here, in this planet, Ayodhya Dham, on the earth planet, and you do service over here. So then Hanuman said, yes, whatever your wish is. Although he cried, from the day Lord Ramachandra left him, he cried and he's still crying. But he accepted it. That was the will of the Lord for him to stay in this world, even though the Lord returned to the spiritual world. That's how much attached he is to this mood of being the das, the servant. Whatever my master wants, even if it causes me tremendous distress, even if I'm separated from my master, then I accept that. So this is a famous verse Rupa Goswami is saying. If someone gets this liberation, in this case he's speaking about this, although it doesn't say, it just says liberation from material life, we could assume that it means Brahma Sayujya. And in that position there's no opportunity to serve the Lord. And even if you say it, this term, because it's not specified, if this term mukti in Hanuman's statement refers to Vaikuntha mukti, there's also very little service there. If someone has Silokya mukti, living on Vaikuntha, or they have Sarupya mukti, same form as the Lord, or they have Sharshti mukti, the same opulence of the Lord, there's no service. There's no direct service to Lord Vishnu. Now, if someone has Samipya mukti, which means to be in close proximity to the Lord, close proximity to Lord Narayan, he may have service. He's in close proximity. But even then, the intimacy of his service, there's only a few servitors in Samipya Mukti that have personal service to the Lord. You may be in close association with the Lord in Vaikuntha in Samipya Mukti. So you have a chance, an opportunity to serve the Lord, but you may be posted at the gate or even at the seventh gate of the Lord, and you're merely a doorman. You could say, yes, I'm serving Vishnu, I'm his doorman, on the seventh gate. And then we can ask, well, do you ever see Vishnu? Not much. Every couple of months when he decides to come out for a ride, out in the forest or go out somewhere, then he passes through the gate, then I open the gate and I see him. So this can be also considered in Hanuman's statement. So the opportunities for rendering personal service to the Lord of Vaikuntha are very, very rare, extremely rare. And Hanuman is thinking, I have a good deal. My relationship with Ram is quite intimate. Sometimes he rides on my back. He sits on my back and uses me for an airplane. He reclines on my back, and, like with footrest and everything, like first class airplane. And sometimes I hold an umbrella over his head. So I fan the Lord. I bring things to the Lord. So I have direct personal service to the Lord. So I wouldn't want to sacrifice this for anything. So this is what he's saying. I don't desire that liberation because awareness that you're the master and I am the servant disappears. So this is being told here. But it's kind of a tragic point that Hanuman was left here. But then also Acharyas say that there's different forms of Hanuman. Because the devotees of the Lord, they can have many forms to serve the Lord in many different regions simultaneously. There is one planet called Kimpurusha Loka. In Kimpurusha Loka, the living entities there, they look something like human beings. But people are wondering, so they say Kimpurusha. Kimpurusha means when you see one of those living entities, you say, what kind of person is this? Kim, what kind of person is this? Because they have two arms and two legs in human form, but their face looks like a monkey. They have a monkey's face. But then when they speak, they don't say, like the monkeys here. When the Kimpurushavasis, when they speak Sanskrit. They speak shlokas. So Hanuman was a resident of Kimpurusha. So it's told that Hanuman has one eternal form on Kimpurusha Loka, where he's worshipping some murtis of Sita and Ram. And then he has one form in Ayodhya, which appears to be situated in Uttar Pradesh, in India, although it's a holy dham. And then he has another form actually in Vaikuntha, in Ayodhya. So he's also there. He's there and he's not there. So in these three different forms, Hanuman is rendering service to the Lord. This next few verses here, two verses. Let's see if we can read these two verses. Are from the Narada Pancharatra, a section called Jitanta Stotra. Dharmartha kama moksheshu necha mama kadachana tvatpada pankajasyaddo jivitam diyatam mama mokshasilokyasa sarupyan pratyena daradara ichamehi mahabhaga karunyam tava suvrata. It's telling. I have no desire at all for dharma, art, kama, or moksha. Please make my life completely dependent upon your lotus feet. I do not pray for liberation, salokya, or sarupya. O upholder of the earth, most distinguished Lord, true to your vows, I only desire your mercy. So apparently this is a prayer to Ananta Shesh, upholder of the earth. And we'll continue tomorrow with these other verses. We're almost finished this section about devotees of the Lord. They decry liberation because they're relishing so much happiness by serving the Lord. So any questions about these points? Somehow this is the mercy of Rupa Goswami. He wants us to understand this point very thoroughly. Because you could say in one sense all these verses are commentaries or on this Shikshastakam, Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavidamba Jagadish Kamiye. Mama Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavatad Bhakti Hoiti Gritui. That birth after birth, I don't want anything. I don't want anything of this world. I don't want anything of the heavenly planets. I don't even want liberation. Because when there's liberation, there's no more birth. Pumanara Janmani Vidyate. Krishna tells Arjuna in Gita, if one understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, Janma Karma Chamedavyam Evam Yovati Tatvata. He doesn't take another birth. So Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to understand me, to serve me, to surrender unto me. Mam mana bhava mad bhakta madhyachi mam namaskar. Always think of me. And this way, you'll never take another birth. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and says, no, another birth is not so bad. I say, wait a minute, when you came 4,500 years ago, you were saying this birth thing is not a good idea. Now you're changing your tune. Now you're saying, janmani janmani ishwari, bhavatad bhakti, that birth after birth, you're my worshipable Lord, my Ishvara. And that's all I want. Birth after birth is just to serve you. So obviously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving a higher conception. It's called the Krishna conception. A higher conception of Godhead than the Bhagavad Gita. That's also explained in Ramananda Sambhag, chapter 8 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Rai Ramananda explains about you can attain the goal of life, the sadhya, by sarvadharman prityaja. And then Lord Chaitanya says, agay gochara. He said, go further. This is external. Go further. So further means to not want anything, to just want to serve the Lord, birth after birth. So this is repeatedly being told to us by Rupa Goswami. We have to chant Krishna's name, just like the genuine crying of a child for his mother. Prabhupada told us, one should chant the holy name of the Lord, just like the genuine crying of a child for his mother. Of course, there's genuine crying and bogus crying. And every mother knows the difference. So it's hard to tell what that is over there. It's something in between, I suppose.